The U.S. Constitution doesn't guarantee equal rights for women. Here's why. By Tara Law. When American women won the right to vote, a milestone commemorated on Women's Equality Day, which marks the anniversary of the August 26, 1920 certification that the 19th Amendment had been ratified, it was just one part of an even larger fight for equality. From Mary Church Terrell's endeavors to make sure African American women were included in the fight for suffrage, to Margaret Sanger's work to promote access to birth control, to Ruth Bader Ginsburg's efforts to eliminate sex discrimination in the law, women before and after that day in 1920 have fought for wider rights. And yet, the U.S. Constitution doesn't say that people are equal regardless of their sex. This fact came close to changing in 1972 when the U.S. legislature passed the Equal Rights Amendment, ERA, which stated that rights cannot be denied, quote, on account of sex. But after conservatives mobilized opposition to the ratification of the proposal, the amendment fell short of the three-quarters majority needed to add the ERA to the Constitution. Now, as the Equal Rights Amendment has regained momentum, with two more states, Illinois and Nevada, recently ratifying it, advocates say that there's a new opportunity for the ERA to move ahead. Here's what to know about the Equal Rights Amendment, the history, what could happen to it next, and how it could change American society. All right, first, what is the Equal Rights Amendment? For a document that carries so much political weight in history, the Equal Rights Amendment is surprisingly short. As passed by Congress in 1972, the amendment said, Section 1. Equality of rights under the law shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of sex. Section 2. The Congress shall have the power to enforce, by appropriate legislation, the provisions of this article. Section 3. This amendment shall take effect 2 years after the date of ratification. The original amendment was written in 1923 by members of the National Women's Party, which itself was formed in June 1916 to push for women's right to vote. After the 19th Amendment was ratified on August 18, 1920, the party turned its attention to the broader issue of women's equality. The result? The ERA. But the amendment failed to gain much widespread support in the 1920s, partly because it divided members of the women's movement along class lines. Working women at the time were focused on gaining workplace protections for women and children, and some were concerned that an equal rights amendment would endanger laws that made factories safer and limited the number of hours women could work. Decades would pass before the Equal Rights Amendment would gain real momentum. By that point, both men and women had won protections in the workplace, and the women of the second wave feminist movement, including some who'd participated in the fight for civil rights in the 1960s, were pushing for equality in their jobs, universities, and homes. Who first proposed the Equal Rights Amendment? The Equal Rights Amendment was written by Alice Paul, born 1885, died 1977, the founder of the National Woman's Party. Born to a New Jersey family of Quakers who highly valued education, Paul studied at colleges and universities in the U.S. and the United Kingdom and earned an impressive number of degrees, including a master's and doctorate in sociology from the University of Pennsylvania, a law degree from Washington College of Law, and law master's and doctoral degrees from American University. But her life's work really came into focus after she joined demonstrations for the British suffragist movement in the early 1900s. When she returned to the U.S. in 1910, she pushed American suffragists to try the confrontational techniques she'd seen applied in Britain, including civil disobedience. Concerned that the National American Woman Suffrage Association was too moderate, in 1913, Paul and Lucy Burns formed the Congressional Union for Woman Suffrage, which was later reconstituted as the National Woman's Party, and employed more aggressive tactics. The group used parades, petitions, protests, and pickets to push for the right to vote. In 1917, Paul was sentenced to 7 months in prison for picketing the White House and was force-fed after going on a prison hunger strike. After women successfully won the right to vote in 1920, the National Woman's Party turned its attention to the next steps. Jessica Neuwirth, a women's rights lawyer and a founder of the ERA Coalition, a current-day campaign to pass the amendment, tells Time that suffrage advocates saw their work as remedying the intentional omission of women from the U.S. Constitution. It was an intentional exclusion of women from the Constitution because they were basically not considered full citizens who should have the right to vote, Neuwirth says. Once they got the vote, they wanted to get all the other rights that they should have. Paul's crusade in the 1920s was unsuccessful, but in the 1950s, Michigan Congresswoman Martha Griffiths took up the torch. A former judge elected to the House in 1954, Griffiths worked to have sex discrimination added to Title VII of the 1964 Civil Rights Act and pushed the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission to double down on its enforcement of the act. She also introduced the amendment on the House floor every year, but was unsuccessful until 1970, when Griffiths filed a discharge petition that forced the legislation out of committee and led to the amendment being passed by the House. Although the Senate failed to pass it that legislative session, Griffiths reintroduced it the following year. It passed the House on October 12, 1971, and the Senate on March 22, 1972. Why did the Equal Rights Amendment of 1972 fail? In passing the Equal Rights Amendment, Congress had set a 7-year deadline for ratification. At first, ratification seemed to be a given, with states quickly approving the amendment, but those ratifications slowed to a trickle. Crucially, the amendment's passage had had a major consequence, mobilizing anti-feminists, including its arch-opponent Phyllis Schlafly, to defeat it. In many ways, Schlafly was deeply contradictory. Although she praised stay-at-home mothers, Schlafly, a mother of six, dedicated much of her life to political organizing and traveled the country giving lectures. She believed that the ERA would do away with much of the special status granted to women, including the right to be supported by their husbands, and would damage the traditional American family. Schlafly founded the organization Stop ERA, an acronym for Stop Taking Away Our Privileges, to oppose the Equal Rights Amendment. "What I am defending is the real rights of women," Schlafly once said. "A woman should have the right to be in the home as a wife and mother." Telling her audiences that the ERA would eventually lead to a future of gender-neutral bathrooms and women being drafted into the military, she successfully made many people think twice about what constitutionally mandated equality of the sexes would mean. Deidre Condit, an associate professor of political science at Virginia Commonwealth University, notes that, in fact, Schlafly was right that the future would include such things, but they came to pass even without the amendment. Well, if you fast forward to 2019, without the Equal Rights Amendment having passed, we're trying to figure out how to deal with bathrooms in a multi-gendered universe. And we're trying to figure out, should in fact women be drafted if men are drafted, said Condit. And while we're unsettled as a culture about these new questions, they did not fail to emerge because we didn't have an Equal Rights Amendment. The deadline for ratification was extended by 3 years from 1979 to 1982. Still, when that deadline arrived, only 35 states had passed the amendment, 3 states short of the 3/4 majority required by the Constitution. Condit notes that many of the states that failed to pass the Equal Rights Amendment had few women in their state legislatures and historically had poor records of protecting the rights of both women and people of color. Could the Equal Rights Amendment still be ratified today? When Congress failed to extend the ERA ratification deadline in 1982, Time reported that the Equal Rights Amendment had been killed. Over the last 5 years or so, however, advocacy groups such as the ERA Coalition have helped to renew the public's interest in the amendment and the possibility that it could still be ratified. 2 more states have ratified the amendment, Nevada on March 21, 2017, and Illinois on May 30, 2018. That means that only 1 more state would be needed to have the amendment meet the threshold for being added to the Constitution. In April, Congress held its first hearing on ratifying the Equal Rights Amendment in 36 years. Condit, who's advocated for Virginia to pass the amendment, says she strongly suspects that the state will soon become the 38th state to ratify. In February, a vote to bring the Equal Rights Amendment to the Virginia House of Delegates floor failed by just 1 vote. Condit argues that if one more Republican in the Virginia State House loses his or her reelection bid this fall, ERA ratification could soon follow. But how about that 1982 deadline? Linda Coberly, a lawyer and the chair of the ERA Coalition's legal task force, tells Time that she believes it's possible to get around the deadline because that's not part of the amendment itself, and the Constitution does not set deadlines for amendment ratification. In fact, the Constitution sets a requirement that one Congress can't bind a future Congress, so modern legislators could alter the time frame. It would be unprecedented in our history for Congress to allow a joint resolution deadline to stand in the way of the effectiveness of an amendment that has been ratified by 3/4 of the states, Coberly says.